Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. A very, very pleasant good afternoon to you from your pals, Grant and Danny. We are in West Palm Beach, enjoying spring training, keeping up with all of the proceedings in D.C. sports and around the country. Danny, how are you?
I'm good, man. A little bit bittersweet. It feels like I'm just settling into the rhythm. It feels like I just kind of got down here and figured out the lay of the land. You know, when the bathroom is free in our group house that we're staying in, and we're going. We're leaving, heading to the airport right after this. It feels all too short.
I look forward to sleeping on the plane.
Yep.
You know that I will do that.
If you were an X-Men character, they would go, what's Grant's mutant ability? Other people are teleporting, people going through walls, people can control magnetic fields, shoot laser beams out of their eyes. Grant, he falls asleep on planes super quick. That would be your mutant ability.
8 p.m. flight.
Yep.
Assuming we take off on time. Thunderstorms in the forecast this evening in Florida, which is semi-common. My thought is they deal with thunderstorms all the time. So they're going to get us in that air pretty seamlessly. But I know it didn't go that way for you coming down here.
It did not, no. And the reason for the delays that I experienced coming down was they're like, folks here at gate C-26, there's no plane. It hasn't come up from Florida yet because they can't leave because of the crappy weather that was down there.
That could be us.
And that's what I'm worried about. We're that part of that whole thingy.
Busy day in DC sports today. There is a lot to get to. We have to very quickly, though, put a bow on what happened at the very end of our show yesterday.
Yes.
A lot of people have been waiting with bated breath. I've heard from some folks on social media as well that they wanted to know who won the cannonball contest. We just ran out of time. We had a hard out. The finals, the cannonball cook-off between Darris and Toby at our West Palm Beach abode yesterday ended the show. And while Darris's cannonball to get him to the finals was by far the best of all of the entries.
That's our favorite cannonball.
I think you and I decided last night that Toby actually had the better cannonball in the final round. If so facto, Toby, not Darris, in an upset, probably won the cannonball contest.
And so, it sounds like I'm saying it's negative. It is a shame that the best cannonball doesn't win it, but that's kind of how this thing goes. You cannonballed for a right to be in the cannonball finals. Darris did that. He earned his right there, obviously. That was the best cannonball. Even though, as he approached the ledge, he didn't keep his momentum going for a bigger jump. He got to the ledge, stopped.
Yeah.
He then said, started again.
In a post-game interview last night, seen only on Instagram Live at Grant H. Paulson, he said that he stopped because he was afraid he was going to slip on the ledge.
Yeah, which I get. I understand that. He looked a little hesitant. And looked like he didn't really want to do this at all, didn't want to be there, and didn't want to be part of it, which I understand. Again, I get those feelings naturally. But it does – I thought it was going to hurt him. His first cannonball was the best one. That splash sound, if you've seen that cannonball done proper, you know it. It's the first sound of entry, followed by the water displacement and the thudunk, and that son of a gun shoots straight up in the air higher than the roof.
Toby, though, consistency through two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Two really, really good cannonballs.
Strong cannonballs.
I also think, Darius, you might have been done in by the fact that you had just gotten out of the pool. You were still kind of climbing up the ladder, coming around. You didn't have any downtime because we were going off the air. And you really didn't get to think. You just had to, in one motion, walk around the pool and jump back in. That couldn't have helped you.
It was a tough break. It was definitely a Aaron Gordon getting robbed type situation. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm glad to take the crown of best overall cannonball.
That's a good point. What would
like,
you
when, rather, like when John Wall won the dunk contest, he got dunk of the night or dunker of the night or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like whatever that was.
Yeah.
I'm
what
fine,
would you have
I'm
rather had? The best cannonball we saw or won the whole thing?
That's tough. I'm going to go with won the whole thing.
Because that's $3.
Yeah, $3 is a big deal.
It is.
I feel like so. It would have been nice to take home the first place prize.
The man on Venmo in those $3 is Toby.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
You not only won the cannonball contest, we went out last night and hit golf balls. Danny didn't because it was dark out.
Yeah.
But
it was past 8 p.m.
You did a hell of a job at the golf course as
Thank
well.
You.
Or what was that? Like a top golf knockoff?
Yeah, like a driving golf. Range fun thing.
Yeah.
And you hit missiles. I posted a video of Toby. Just
a little fun.
You ever seen those like Mike Trout at Top Golf videos where like a major league player grabs a club and just hits it and it's going up on the back net 300 yards away?
It's just belted.
That's what Toby did last night.
I wouldn't go that far.
Missile after missile after missile.
That was fun. We were doing a lot of play-by-play bits where we were acting like
fun.
We were hitting home runs
yep.
and doing play-by-play calls like we're Bob Uecker.
Let's just say if Grant Paulson were to ever hit a walk-off home run, he would be beaned the immediate next day.
This is true.
If that were the case.
Toby also agrees with your take, which is one of your best bullets ever, that you said all of my clubs go the same length.
Yes.
Like I would drive it right down the middle, like 150, whatever it was. Then I would get a 7 and somehow do the same thing.
That's where it goes. You are consistent, if nothing else.
Go straight, which is with positive.
There's no
thing,
elevation.
Right?
It's kind of like a line drive base hit to center mm-hmm. field. Doesn't matter which bat you're using.
I lack length. I also don't hit the ball very far. Both of those things can be true.
Mm-hmm.
But congratulations, Toby.
Appreciate it.
Proud of you. And Darius, we're also proud of you. We wish you would have finished a little stronger. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Hopefully next time I get some downtime.
Yeah, because we're doing this again. It's an annual competition.
Correct.
If you weren't so rushed for time, I would have loved your chances in the finals.
Yeah,
I would have loved it.
Yeah.
Someone's asking for photos. I think there's a bunch of videos available. I'll do you one better. At your Instagram, right, Danny?
Yes, at Humorous Danny, I did a nice little reel, put them all together. And at Funny Danny on Twitter, I put them there as well. That was just the preliminary round, though. I only got the first round of jumps. And you'll see, Ryan has good technique, just doesn't have the buttock situation anymore now that he's lost 281 pounds.
It was a lack of mass,
he
I would
just
say.
Doesn't have the wide hip move the water body style anymore. Good technique on the splash, but not much you can do there. You get Darius and Toby, both really strong first rounds. Darius had the best first round, as we know, and you can see it in ascending order there.
Go check it out, and we thank all of you for your interest in the first annual cannonball contest for the Grant and Danny radio program in West Palm Beach. All right, business to tend to. Let's get into the sport that we cover on this program, starting with the Commanders from West Palm Beach, because they actually made a move today. And it's a big name. Three-time Pro Bowler, former Super Bowl champion, 33-year-old tight end Zach Ertz being signed to a one-year deal by Washington. Interesting to see what he has left in the tank, if we're being honest. He played just 7 games this past season, caught 27 passes for about 185 yards before Arizona waived him. He ended up signing on with the Lions to try to go win some hardware, was on their practice squad when they got eliminated in the NFC Championship game. But you got to go back just to 2021, so 3 football seasons ago, 74 grabs for 770 yards with 2 teams. That was Arizona and Philly. That was his most recent productive year. So basically, I would say 1 year more recent than Logan Thomas. He played at a really high level.
Mm-hmm.
But similarly, he's 33. You know, he's not what he was 5, 6, 7 seasons ago. This is not the guy that tore up Washington at FedEx Field and caught 15 passes several years back. He does know Cliff Kingsbury. He knows his offense, played for him in Arizona. He knows Devita Pritchard from their time together at Stanford. And he's a guy that everybody around the league seems to like a lot, who's smart and can pick things up. So I get why they're doing this. I would just temper expectations. This is not a tight end they signed who's going to make a Pro Bowl this year. hopefully he makes the team and he can provide kind of what Logan Thomas did last year, and he'll just do it at a lot less money.
Yeah, so I don't think there's going to be much production here. With all due respect to Ertz, who's had an outstanding career, most of it against Washington, if I could say that. No one's more comfortable against Washington, and I mean that. Nobody, so nice to take him off the board in that way. But to me, this is the translator. And what do I mean by that? You've heard so many guys talk about this, right? Learning a new offense is like learning a new language, where left doesn't mean left anymore. Apple actually means, blue sky, and tree means root, and everything is the opposite. You have to relearn every single thing till it becomes intuitive. This is a guy that's lived in this system with Kingsbury for a couple of different years. He could sort of be that emissary for guys. You know, do I want four steps and a hesitation and then turn right, or is it on the four step I'm turning right? What's my timing? What's everything? He can kind of help implement those things. You see this all the time where guys who've been in previous systems before, veterans, solid dudes that everybody likes, they'll, you know, go show up and sort of help in that way, almost like being a coach for the position. You could do it now because of his status as a free agent, different than other guys that were with teams kind of all throughout. I expect them to still address that tight end room, but this is a guy that, for a position that's going to reform, I think, and kind of take a different shape this next season, can kind of be helpful to a lot of the players.
Yeah, I'd be really disappointed if they don't still add an impact receiver
without
at tight
question.
End. Like, if it's Ertz and nothing else at tight end, they're not going to have a particularly good tight end room. You're talking about John Bates, Cole Turner, Armani Rogers as kind of the incumbent holdover types, mm-hmm. and then you would have Ertz as the, you know, the extra guy added to the conversation. But I think if they draft one in the top 40, maybe at 36 or 40, that's a big deal that would help. Or if they go out and sign another veteran who's just a little younger, more explosive, uh-huh. or athletic. I'm just looking for someone who's dynamic, someone who can be a weapon or create some matchup problems.
That's the word. That's the phrase I want. Right. I just want the matchup problem.
Well, Ertz was that guy a bunch of years ago, but he's not right now. But in a tight end room I'm designing as a two or three, depending on what the rest of the room is, I think he could be awesome. He could really help you. I just still need somebody who's an athlete who can use footwork to get open and beat people on choice routes. Like, that's what I'm looking for. They don't really have that at this moment.
Yeah, I'm looking for the guy that you can't account for. With all the respect to Zach Ertz, that maybe was him at one point. It's now not. And it's not like they make these guys infinitely. But for Washington, what I've always coveted is if you go base, you're cooked. A linebacker on my tight end, you have no chance. We'll check to something. And if you go nickel as your base defense, my linebacker can now knock your guy into next week if I want to. Excuse me, my tight end can knock your safety in the next week if I want to run that way, or he can box him out. I want that guy that you cannot match up with one-on-one. You're forced to do different things. My personnel dictates what you can and can't do. I've coveted that, and it hasn't really happened here. The last time we were close to that in Washington was the duo of Chris Cooley and Fred Davis, and for some reason we couldn't seem to get those guys in the field at the same time. It was very rare to have a two tight end look. It was almost like they had to alternate or whatever. So I have wanted that spot as kind of that constant gut punch since Jordan Reed was patrolling, when you had DeSean Jackson going deep, Garcon going middle, and Jordan Reed kind of working underneath. That's the last time this offense was really, really good here, in my opinion. I want something like that again.
This news broke at the end of the show yesterday, right? As we were signing off, and so we didn't really get into it. Anthony Manta, yesterday traded by the Capitals. Dust has settled on that move. He's in Vegas with the Golden Knights. I think one of Spencer Carberry's best accomplishments
here.
As a head coach so far and best achievements has been that he reached Anthony Manta, who was a huge disappointment after he came over from Detroit, going back to the 2021 season. He had 4 goals in 14 games to wind that year down. Then just 9 goals and 11 goals, respectively, in the last 2 seasons. To the point where Washington was desperately trying to move him last deadline, this offseason, and they weren't able to because his contract was too big. He was making $5.7 million. He's in the final year. His base salary is actually about $6.5 million, but his cap number is $5.7 million. And they were now, because he has had a breakout, a bit of a renaissance season here, they were able to move him to Vegas. He's going to help them a lot in a playoff run, I would imagine. He's big, he can skate, he's scoring, he's playing confident, he's got an excellent shot. Not a physical guy by any means, but occasionally will drop the gloves if you need him to. We've seen that in his time in Washington when things are going well. But I give Carberry a lot of credit, because by turning Manta around, the Caps were able to flip him, took on a little money to do it, but they get a second and a fourth round pick, continuing their retool and their rebuild,
yep,
while they're still trying to compete. So now the deadline comes your way 2 days from now on Friday. There's questions as to who else could be moved. I think Charlie Lindgren in the net and Nick Dowd, who is a very sound defensive center and a great faceoff specialist, just a really good fourth line player. Those two guys, to me, would have a lot of value for a contender. It would make a lot of sense for a team to bring in. But my guess is the Caps are going to continue to ask for, you know, a first-round pick. We've seen reports that that's what they want. But if you're trading Mantha, you're open for business, and you're willing to sell off. I just don't think they're going to completely detonate or blow it up. A, they don't have a lot of pieces to do that. But B, they're still in the mix for what could be, you know, the opportunity to sneak into the playoffs. So, Dowd, Lindgren, would you add anyone else to that list to watch?
I'm just
Edmondson, maybe.
I mean, to me, I think you probably covered it. It feels very similar to last year, right? Where you're not going to do a complete dynamite under this thing, total detonation. It's guys that are pending free agents, right? It's somebody that you're basically renting out for a stretch run to a contender, and those are the names that fit the bill. I would suppose if they were blown away by something for, you know, one of those guys that may not fit into the program a couple years from now, you know, we're just sort of thinking ahead, but I just can't imagine that that deal would come to fruition.
One other Caps story today, and we'll talk to Joe Beninati about this at 5 p.m. From Pittsburgh, where he's getting ready to call tomorrow night's Caps game with the Penguins. But they locked up Rasmus Sandin today ahead of the deadline. It was a year ago, Danny, that they traded a first-round pick and went and got Rasmus Sandin. Today, he gets a 5-year contract extension. It's going to carry an average value of about $4.6 million. He's got 20 points, 17 of those apples, in 52 games this season. Ranks among the team's defensemen, second in goals, assists, points, time on ice, games played, third in block shots with 85. Basically number two to Carlson in almost every counting stat for a defenseman. It's a good bit of money to pay Rasmus Sandin, and this is kind of what they like to do. They freed up a little cap space. They've got a little more wiggle room. They get one of their own locked up under contract. One thing to remember about Rasmus Sandin, he's only 23 years old.
That's right.
Still a young guy.
So it hasn't been this unbelievable year for him, especially in terms of scoring points. I don't think anybody's really scoring points on this roster. You look at the leading point getter, Dylan Strome, would be, you know, fifth or sixth on most first division clubs. But he's been very solid and has certainly shown some signs, right? Like all the attributes of a really good puck moving, offensively gifted defenseman. And, you know, as you said, he's only 23 years old. Kind of the, I don't want to say the heir apparent to Carlson because they're different players, but there's something to that, I think. And, yeah, he has done everything right since he's been here, so lock him up. But what's going to end up being a bargain, I think, in a couple of years.
We told you, it's been a busy day. You got your Commanders addition with Ertz, Capitals, who traded Mantha yesterday, still talking shop ahead of the deadline. They extend Sandin. And the Nationals, while we were sitting here in spring training, we get a text and we, like, ask, wait, I guess you guys are signing Eddie Rosario, right? And they're like, yeah,
what?
Is that out there? Well, then, yes, we are. We're signing him. 21 home runs last year with the Braves. He was a little over a one-win player. The World Series champion in Atlanta back in 21. Was the MVP of the LCS. Remember, his National League Championship Series was pretty legendary.
He couldn't stop hitting home runs.
Former 32-homer, 109 RBI guy. He did that with Minnesota back in 2019. He can hit. Like, this is your starting left fielder, in my opinion. I don't know that Winker showed them early on in camp maybe what they were hoping for. As of yesterday, you and I were talking. We had James Wood on the show. We both thought maybe Wood would break camp as their left fielder. This now allows you, and this is probably a good thing, even if it's a little disappointing, to put Wood, mm-hmm, ideally at AAA to begin the year. He gets off to a fast start. He can be in the big leagues very soon. But Rosario maybe starts in left, Lane Thomas in right. The competition continues between Victor Robles, who homered today, and Jacob Young, who's having a great camp in center field. And while you don't block anybody, it's not like Rosario means so much to this team that, like, James Wood can't be elevated when he's ready. It just it gives you options that you don't have to go with Wood if you prefer not to.
Well, I think the way to phrase it to me, GP, is it takes the pressure off. In other words, if fans are looking down at AAA, James Wood goes 2-for-4 with another homer and a stolen base, or, you know, he's doing something amazing every night, and you look up in a platoon or a group of Jake Alou and Alex Call and Stone Garrett is one for their last 26 playing left field, people are going to go, come on, right? Well, you got a guy, as you said, that's played at the highest levels, 20-plus homers last year for a first-division club. It's been a league championship series MVP, and it's not like 15 years ago either. This guy can hit, as you said. So you plug him in, I think, again, it kind of relieves some of the pressure where there's no hurrying someone to the bigs. You let him go at his own timetable.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. I saw Chris Sims has ranked the quarterbacks in this draft class 1 through 6. I'm curious to take a peek at that. So I want to dive in his rankings. They're always very interesting this time of year. He's always unique. Like, it's never just groupthink. He comes out with his own wacky rankings. I will say last year he was all over C.J. Stroud, but there have been times where he was like, Kellen Mond is going to be the next great thing. He always has hot takes, so we'll see what is warmest of his thoughts next on G&D here on The Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
G&D from West Palm Beach, where our coverage is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We're taking you up to 6:30. Charlie Campbell's going to join us at 3. He is a draft analyst at Walter Football. He said yesterday that he's being told from his sources that the Commanders are telling teams they will not be trading back and they will be staying put at 2 and taking a quarterback. We want to ask him about that and then dive into who he thinks they should take at number 2, Drake May at the University of North Carolina or the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels of LSU. Speaking of which, Danny, Chris Sims has come out with his top 6 quarterbacks in this draft class. And while we don't really typically spend time going through every analyst and their rankings or trying to get to the bottom of who they like or who they don't, Sims' rankings are always interesting because he does his own thing. And I don't want to say his batting average is higher or lower than anybody else's, but this is not groupthink. He studies the film. He breaks it down. He's done it for years. He's been right at times. He was very loudly telling everyone Stroud was better than Young a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Seems like he got that right. He had Zach Wilson as the best quarterback, though, in 2021 and had Mac Jones way up high in that class. That hasn't obviously looked great. But when you put your name on the line a little bit and you're writing very public columns here, you're putting yourself out there. So you're not going to bat 1,000. The GMs don't either.
I was going to, and that's exactly my point I was going to make, is that the guys that do this professionally don't get it right any more or less often than he does. He's a voice that I like listening to. Again, it's a data point. Nobody's required by law to treat this as gospel. Nobody has to say that this is now carved in stone, that one is better than the other. This is what he sees, and I always welcome that perspective, especially because, as you said, there's never any groupthink. Like, he's going to have somebody way higher than everybody else does, and in this case, it looks like somebody way lower than everybody else does.
Yeah, way, way lower.
Way.
We'll get to that in the back of his top 6 at number 6.
Lower.
But let's go from number 1 down. Starting with, he tiered this, a one-man tier. The number one quarterback in the draft class, according to Chris Sims in 2024, in a class of his own, he said, Caleb Williams, USC. And I think you can understand that when you watch Caleb Williams, the physical traits are going to jump off the screen. The arm is special. The athleticism is otherworldly. You've heard the Mahomes comps because he's one of the few guys in recent college football who is Mahomesian in his ability to extend and create. We can get into some of the warts or questions in a second, but if you're just talking about physical tools, it's no different. Danny, we're here at spring training, like going out to the backfields. It took us 5 minutes yesterday just watching the minor leaguers field ground balls, you know, shag in the outfield, take some swings. You can kind of tell, oh, that guy's got skill. Oh, that guy's a really good prospect, I bet. Caleb Williams is going to jump out at you with everything that he does.
Without question. And the highlights are innumerable, and the highlights are crazy. I mean, and that's the thing that tantalizes everybody. I understand that. I mean, down in, down out, sure. I'm sure there's work to do. Everybody, even all pros, have things they can improve on at certain times. We pick apart every throw. But some of those moments are jaw-dropping and exhilarating. So, yeah, makes sense.
His second-ranked quarterback is also in his own tier. All right, so he tiered it as Tier 1, class of his own, Caleb Williams. Tier 2, which he headlines with the number one pick in other years. And he's got Jaden Daniels of LSU there, who accounted for 50 touchdowns and just 4 picks this past season, all by himself ahead of the rest of the QBs in the class. So he doesn't just think Daniels is substantially ahead of May, but you know that it's enough that he put him in his own tier. Not, you should take him over Drake May. Like, no, he is tier 2 and tier 2 alone for Chris Sims. Again, it's one guy's opinion, but it is an opinion that has carried some weight this time of year, because he is so unique in how he profiles and breaks these quarterbacks down. We've talked about this a lot with Jaden Daniels. I don't understand how you could watch him and not at least be excited by his potential. I don't know how you could watch anything that he did at LSU, even 2 seasons ago when I saw him live in Baton Rouge. But clearly this year is the best college football player in the nation, and not think there's a chance that guy's an unbelievable NFL player. For me, the reason I'm a little more nervous than it seems like a lot of people are, a lot of what I would consider my problem metrics, the things that I go, if I'm making a list of stats that seem to more often than not lead to guys who make a lot of plays with their feet, not making the transition to being great pro passers, here's my 4 or 5 stats. And in all those categories, he does not grade out very well. Doesn't mean he's not going to be awesome. It just gives me a little bit of pause. Still a guy that if Washington takes him too, I'll be happy. And that's where I've been all along. I don't get why anyone could be upset if they took Jaden Daniels second. Like, to me, that's silly after what he did in the SEC against teams like Alabama, you know, with all the NFL talent that he played against.
Mm-hmm.
He dominated.
Dominated. Put up an unbelievable season. Obviously, you'd have to do that to win the Heisman Trophy. But, I mean, to me, I also love the phrasing of the tier that Chris Sims has. Like, in other, this is what I talk about all the time with these three quarterbacks up at the top of the board. In a totally different year, Drake May would be the number one guy, for, you know, for me. Or, you know, another year, Jaden Daniels would be the number one guy. Like, go back to 2019 when Kyler Murray went first. I would probably guess that Daniels would be ahead of that Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins quarterback year. Or go to, you know, a different season where, I don't know, you could pick your superstar, the Joe Burrow year. Maybe that wouldn't, he wouldn't have been number one. The point is, we're always doing this not just graded against these guys this year, but graded against other years, future years, past years, et cetera, to justify some of the movement, some of the picks that guys may or may not end up making. And to me, he would absolutely be worthy of being round one, pick one in a couple years past. Other years, like this one, probably not.
Yeah, it's also worth noting, I guess, that just because you were the Heisman Trophy winner or an amazing player, even in the best conference, that doesn't get you anywhere come September. You think about guys like Matt Leinart, Kyler Murray to a lesser extent because he's been okay in the NFL, but Tim Tebow, Jason White, I remember at Oklahoma, had 40 touchdowns and I think 8 picks or something like that. It's awesome to be the best player in college football. Sometimes you're great and you're able to thrive against the best teams you play in the elite NFL competition in college in the SEC because you got help. And you think about Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver just lit up the combine, who's the number 2 at LSU is probably going to go in the first half of the first round. Malik Nabers, who I think is going to make a Pro Bowl maybe as a rookie and is going to be an All-Pro eventually, possibly, at wide receiver. He's that good. Like, that's who you're throwing to. So that might all factor into it for Daniels. All right, now we move along. This is Chris Sims' ranking of the top six quarterback prospects in the 2024 draft class. So Williams by himself, Daniels by himself is top two. Tier three, three names. You'll notice that somebody's missing still. Bo Nix, Oregon. Michael Penix, Washington. J.J. McCarthy, Michigan. He's now ranked five QBs. Still no Drake May, who is in the fourth tier behind those other three guys, labeled a talented project and his number six quarterback. Said differently, he believes Nix, Penix, and McCarthy are all franchise starting QBs, and not only would he take them over May, he's got them in an entirely different tier.
How about that?
He really doesn't like Drake May.
Not at this time. I mean, but this is one of those, you know, if let's just say that this is law, right? Let's say that what Chris Sims says is 100% correct for the purposes of this discussion. That's the classic case of he needs to go to a good team, good situation, stable offense, offensive mind, coordinator, weapons, OC. One of the kind of the Ben Roethlisberger plan, the Russell Wilson plan, right? Where a group is good, they're stable, they're sound, they can ask him to not do that much initially and then have more and more grow onto his plate as he kind of turns into a star. That's the pathway for Drake May, according to sort of that evaluation. Not to say the guy can't play or shouldn't be drafted or he's got him as a fifth rounder or something like that. I get the sense that all those guys he's got in rounds one and two, you know what I mean? He's not calling him an undraftable, but I thought that was interesting to put him down in the project territory. I wonder what the criteria are there.
Yeah, something I'm sure he'll talk a lot about in the weeks ahead, and maybe we can get him on and ask him about it. But the idea that you can watch Drake May and come out of that feeling like he's not a good bet to be a franchise quarterback in a world where you say Penix and Nix are ready to be that guy right now, I have a hard time with that. I just think that whether it's the body or the arm, performance in college, statistically otherwise, there's just too many things that suggest Drake May is what the league is looking for. But he is, I don't want to call him divisive, he is, for whatever reason, seemingly more open to people thinking he can't do it. Like, whereas Jaden Daniels, I think a lot of people go, he's amazing, or I like Jaden Daniels. You don't have nearly as many people going, you better not touch Jaden Daniels. There's a little bit of that with Drake May. I'm not really sure where it comes from.
So I think it's a few things. Where you look at, one of the things we do in pro sports is we equate stats across guys to who are their peers, right? We look historically too, but we try to grade everybody against that same playing field, that same scale. In college football, there's such a wide array. Everybody knows that the ACC is not the SEC. Everybody knows that whatever's left of the Mid-America Conference or whatever, some of these things, is not the Big 12, which is not the Big 10, etc. So when they look at Drake May's numbers, they're going, what? Why isn't he like Bo Nix, who threw for 45 touchdowns with three interceptions?
But Chris Sims,
why isn't he doing that? I'm not saying Chris Sims is. I'm saying the general populace.
Yeah,
what I thought you were talking about.
Well, but to clarify, I'm not worried about the general populace's take. I think there are more analysts who, and I'm not saying Drake May is not well-liked. He might be the most common thought of number two pick. But I think more often than not, the floor, it seems like, do you agree with this perception?
Is lower among the analysts? Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think a lot of people think his ceiling might be higher than Daniels, mm-hmm. but also that his floor could be lower.
I think that's a pretty common belief. And that I don't have an answer to.
I wouldn't view him as being riskier than Daniels, but obviously, goes without saying, Chris Sims does. What do you make of, first of all, those rankings, 800-636-1067, if you want to jump in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. And if you were to find out, non-Caleb Williams division, that one of these quarterback prospects years from now is a Hall of Fame type, and one of these quarterback prospects we keep talking about that everybody likes is just a complete bust, who would you go with for those two categories? We'll chop it up on that. Plus, it seems like our guy, Riverboat Ron Rivera, might have found his next gig. We'll explain on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Condorian Murad. They're the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will, and your trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We're flying back to D.C. from West Palm tonight. Our coverage from Nats Camps presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. You're going to hear from Lane Thomas coming up at 6 this evening, the back-to-back player of the year for the Nationals at the big league level. Will be joining us right here on The Fan. Danny, we got a bunch of tweets from people with pictures of this to let us know. So the brand is strong, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Riverboat.
There we go.
Ron Rivera today on ESPN as an analyst discussing drafting a quarterback. I guess this is the maiden voyage for him.
Just looking up the definition of irony real quick. Hold on.
I think he's going to be pretty good as an analyst.
No, he will be.
Now, that was a quick change of pace for
you. No, I mean, it's what he should be doing.
Right.
Like, that's his speed at this stage, is generally sort of talking about football. And I was there when certain decisions were made. And if anybody goes over what was right and what was wrong, it'll take too long. But he should generally be talking in the media. That's what he should be doing.
Here's what I wonder, though. He says a lot of words.
Yep.
Is that because he's a coach at a press conference and he's trying to kind of lose you in his wake? I just wonder how good he'll be on air as it pertains to breaking it down, the X's and O's. I always heard he's just a awesome X's and O's guy defensively. So I'd like to see some of that. Rex Ryan, I think, is great on television.
Uh-huh.
But I knew he was going to be really good on TV. He had a huge personality. He was funny.
Once you talk about eating a snack, you
exactly
knew whatever that guy wants to do in the media.
I don't really get that vibe from Rivera. Rivera is kind of more of like the uncle or the grandfatherly figure who everybody loves, who's extremely nice. But like, I never really come away from the press conference going, he'd be a good hang. I want to have a beer with him. He doesn't have that, you know, that Rex Ryan thing. But, you know, people will tell you that Bill Belichick will be the greatest analyst ever, and no one's ever been less, I want to have a beer with that guy than Belichick.
No one's less personable. I mean, think about it. It's going to sound like a Joan. It's not meant that way. Think about John Gruden on television. He never said a bad word about anybody. Everything was probably the greatest living football player we've ever seen. It's like practice squad Peter, who probably won't make the team. He didn't want to bash anybody for years because he wanted to get back into coaching.
But you don't have to bash anybody. He was a character, at least.
Right. I guess what the point I'm making is there wasn't as much substantive with John Gruden, and you know that guy knows football.
Yeah.
You know, like, to me, if you sound like you know what you're talking about, people give you the benefit of the doubt.
I want to see a clip of Rivera today. I just want to see
you really
what his energy's like. because at the podium it was a very low energy delivery. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Some folks want to hop in to discuss the quarterback rankings from Chris Sims. By the way, we've got the draft analyst who reported yesterday that the Commanders are telling teams they don't want to trade back. Charlie Campbell coming up in 10 minutes at 3 o'clock, so make sure you're listening at that time on the Fan. But Desmond is in D.C. on the phones. What's up, Desmond? How are you?
What's up, Graham? What's up, man? I'm good. I just got to talk to you, man. I've been listening for the past couple of weeks. And listen, you talking to a guy, I go to work every day, Monday through Friday. I can work 7 days a week, but every day I watch ESPN from 7 till partner interruption go off. You know what I'm saying? I listen to the junkies and all y'all all day. I ain't seen nobody outside of a couple wannabe, you know what I'm saying, mock draft experts on Twitter say that Drake May is number two. Everybody from Mel Kiper to Michelle.
We gotta cut the call. I'm so sorry. The phone
was that
just
his
was
phone
I think
or
it was
reception.
Either way, it was killing us. So if it was sounded fine over the air, I apologize. We could barely hear it. Basically saying that nobody else has Drake May as high as you do was his accusation, which I don't agree with.
Yeah, that's just not correct. A lot of people have him number two. He's being mocked number two quite a bit. But if you think that he's not, okay. I guess we'll see what happens when the draft comes. But I will beg to differ. Let's go to Mark in Largo on line two. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Good,
hey, Danny, what's up, man? Look, hey, this is a conversation, Danny, I'm having with Grant right now, okay? All right, Grant, look. You know how I feel about Drake May and
I don't.
Daniels. Now, I think
I don't. You have to tell me, Mark. I don't know how you feel.
Okay. Okay. Look, I like Drake May, but I think Jaden Daniels is a better pick. And the only reason why I would say that, and I can understand Pennants and Knicks being ahead of him. Now, J.J. McCarthy, I don't know what in the world. I just think that's just being spiteful to say that. That's stupid. I would put him behind the four. The reason why I would put those four ahead of May, simply because of their resume. Grant, when you draft a quarterback in the top 10, the number one thing that no one talks about is his maturity. It's not his play on the field. That means a lot. But it's his maturity and how he handles himself. And is he ready to take on to be the franchise face of this organization? When you look at the other four, they have long resumes, and they probably ooze maturity out of them. That's the only reason why I could see Chris Sims putting all these guys ahead of Drake.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think that their resumes are definitely longer. They're older. They've been in college for a longer time on the field. But if you're looking at, like, performance, Drake May, two seasons ago, was actually probably statistically better than he was this year, has had 2 years at that level. I mean, Jaden Daniels, prior to last season, was not in any way playing his way into the top of the draft when he was at Arizona State. So really, it's kind of 2 years for him, 2 years of May. And just while he was talking there, I looked it up. Daniel Jeremiah's got Drake May ranked as number two quarterback. So does Mel Kiper, who the first caller had referenced. So I think there's a difference between mock draft and where you rank players. And what I mean by that is Mel Kiper's mocking Jaden Daniels to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to do a mock draft right now, I would probably put Jaden Daniels to Washington number two overall. That doesn't mean I have him higher on my board. Daniel Jeremiah came out with a mock recently, had the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels. I'm looking at his top 50 in front of me right now. He's got Williams and then May in that order at quarterback.
Yeah, PFF has Drake May ranked as the second-best quarterback prospect, Jaden Daniels third, but Daniels is their 22nd overall ranked prospect, for to give you the idea of the gap between them. So it's not as if nobody thinks that Drake May could play. It's about fit, scheme, and what people are hearing.
Let's see what Charlie Campbell thinks. He is a draft expert with Walter Football. We got him on today because he reported yesterday that he's heard from a bunch of his sources around the league that the Commanders are telling teams they don't want to trade back from number two. So I want to hear about that from him next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.